Thank you. It's great to be here. Most of you know that when we come back from a counter, all of us are about this high off the ground. And there's a reason for that. Because it's something you never imagine. You have to experience it. That right there is the calm before the storm. I was sitting in a swing there outside the American Heritage Building where my classroom was at, enjoying the 65 degree weather. Yeah, Lubbock, 65 degrees Monday morning, a high in the upper 80s all week long, humidity maybe 10%. It was terrible. Oh man, it was terrible. I was loving it. All right, now this is what happens when the storm hits, and you got to. Is it moving? There we go. You see the kids coming out of the Moody. Now that's just the beginning. There's over 500 kids in the Moody at the time, so they all run down. And they have to get tickets. Now, it's not like in here, okay? Because when you come to encounter, it's not who can get the back seat, but it's who can get the front seat. I'm talking everybody. They open the door and they run to get the front seat. Now, for some of you older ones that's got walkers, we'll hold everybody back till you get down here. But that's the way it is. It's everybody down front. And then it's a mad dash out the back to get tickets. The theme this year was upside down. Oh, Pat, I need to get this off. I promised you my shirt during services. Well, didn't I? I did. I told you I'd let you have my shirt during services, so here it is. No. Oh, that's better. The theme was upside down. And anybody watch Stranger Things? Anybody watch Stranger Things? Well, I know y'all did because you knew the theme. That's where they got the theme was from the TV show Stranger Things. And the reason was is that in Stranger Things, there's an alter world. And it's always upside down to what's going on in the show. Now, you think maybe we don't live that, right? Okay, let's see if you live that. That picture is upside down to what we normally see. Does it look pretty normal? Other than the fact that it is upside down? They're both smiling and but when you flip it over, that's what it looks like. It's not what it seemed when you looked at it the first time. Here's another one. Is that pretty normal? Looks like it. I got a few more to show you. This one here. Oh, that's not ooh. That's ooh. There we go. Whoop. Now it double clicked. All right. There's a lot of things that we see in this world that turn us upside down. What about in the Bible? Were there people in the Bible that were turned upside down? What about Joseph? Joseph has two dreams. What are those dreams? He goes to his brothers and said, "Hey, I had this dream." And what it means is, you're going to bow down to me. I'm going to be your king. I'm going to rule over you. And what'd they do? They laughed at him. What do you think Joseph was feeling when his brothers threw him in that pit and all he can see is through the hole of the pit and the sky? And he says, maybe I need to rethink this. This is not what I had planned when I told them that I would rule over them. And at 17 years old, he goes into prison. And he's there for 13 years. And as I told the kids, it's not an easy life. You're up before dawn. You're having to kill animals for food and skin them and prepare the pit to cook them on. Then you have to cook them and serve the meals. Then, after they've eaten, then you got to clean up. And you've got to start again for lunch. And then the process starts over for supper. And after they're through eating, you clean up. And then they say, well, I'm ready for a bath. So you have to fill a pot and boil the water to get it hot enough for their baths. And while they're taking a bath, then you're in their rooms turning down the sheets and fluffing the pillows. And then when they go to bed, you go in there and dump out the old dirty bath water. And if you can prepare some stuff for the next day's meal before you go to bed, that's great. But are they going to let you sleep in because you didn't get in bed till 1 o'clock or so? No, they're not. They're expecting you to be up the next morning preparing their meals. 13 years Joseph did this in prison. Do you think that's what his world was about? No, it wasn't. This is what it was like. All right, I want an adult volunteer. I said an adult volunteer. Legally, yes, but you went through it this week. I want somebody that didn't go through it. Your dad? Come here, Ken. We're going to push this table over here and use it. Now, what you have to do is real simple, okay? Just stand right there. I'm going to give you some cups. You know how to stack cups in a pyramid type deal? Yeah. Yeah. Well, go ahead and stack those cups. Ken has a plan for his life. And that's make this pyramid. What happened? Start over. Your plan is to make this pyramid, right? Now he's standing over there to protect himself. Okay, you can go sit down now. Did his life start out like he planned it? His life started out building his pyramid. But what happened? Somebody came and destroyed that. He had to start all over. That's what happened to Joseph. He had to start all over. 13 years he's in prison before Pharaoh finally gets him out. And what about Job? We think of Job and, you know, when we lost Kate, we're like, how do we get through this? And we think of Job, and he's lost 10 kids, plus like 11,000 head of livestock. That was his net worth in livestock, was 11,000 head plus. All at one time. How did Job get through that? And we look at Paul, and Paul is doing what he thinks he's supposed to do, following the law of Moses. In fact, he's so passionate about it. What's he doing? He's killing Christians. And on the road to Damascus, what happens? God comes and talks to him, strikes him blind. And Paul spends 3 days blind. And when he realizes, he gets his sight back and he realizes what he's supposed to do. He goes and he studies with the apostles and different people to figure out what was I doing that was upside down to God's law. and to God's rule. And so he goes and he starts making Christians, making disciples. And so that was real easy for him, right? No, he was thrown in prison. He was beaten with whips 5 different times, 39 lashes each time. And the whip probably had bone in the end of it or bits of pottery or rocks that ripped his back open. And the next time if they beat him and he hadn't healed, what's happened to those old wounds? They're ripped open. And scars up, it heals enough to scar up. What's going to happen the third time? Has his life turned upside down from what he thought it should be? Plus he was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Is that the life he planned? Even of following God's rules, everything was being turned upside down during his life according to society. But what about according to God's law? It was right side up. The world looked at it as upside down. All right, I'm going to get real right now. And some of you may not like it, but that's bad. I don't care. Because it's what's happening. What about these people? That's Wade and some of the kids from Encounter. What about their lives? What about your life? Are their lives being turned upside down any at all? Or do you even think about it? Do you even care about it? Most of the time, as adults, I don't think we care. You know, Bob preached a few weeks back about making disciples. How many of you get nervous when we say, let's make disciples? Be honest with yourself, think about it. It's not like Jim and Donna that have the courage to go knock on doors. We all begin to back away and like, well, I can't do that. Guys, that right there is a mission field. You know how I know? For class, I passed out index cards. That's my 15 classes this week. With 25 kids in each one. Now here's the reality that these kids go through. I told them just what I told you right now about Paul, Job, Joseph. Told them about Kate. And I asked them to take that card and write on that card what has turned their world upside down. Here's some of their responses. I'm not good enough for anyone. You ever thought that? I'm struggling with attraction of the same sex. I hate myself, not just physically, but the way I think, feel, and act. It's hard to love others when you don't love yourself. I hate to deal with my parents. I can't stand my parents arguing so much. And I don't know what to do about it. Addiction, lonely. I need a father. Not being good enough. Being raped. I found out about my peers had been what they had been saying behind my back. And I had an emotional breakdown. One of my closest friends committed suicide. He was a Christian. Self-esteem, LGBTQ. My sexual impurity. Sexual abuse. I can't tell my parents who I really am. My father's affair. Accepting decisions I've made in the past. I can't talk to my siblings anymore because my father raped me. And I went to the police and they didn't do anything about it. And my stepmother took my siblings away from me. Okay, you three, along with me, my family and church elders. Struggling with the church elders. A man who taught me everything I know about the Bible, my father, betrayed me, had an affair, and left. One word on this one. Abortion. High school girl dealing with an abortion. That's the cold hard facts of it. You want to know why I work with these kids? How many of you say, yeah, I know all that goes on, but do you really? Their lives are upside down because of what they just, and that's just, you can see that's just a handful of what I've got all week. Over and over and over again, anger, sexual abuse, drug addiction, pornography, being picked up and moved to another location where you lose your friends and have to start all over. There's all kinds of things that causes kids to struggle. But as adults, we think we're still dealing with our own problems. So what's going to happen to these kids? This is a mission field. Anybody that's still in high school or college, stand up. Anybody in school at all, stand up. This is a mission field. Y'all can sit down now. We as adults don't think about this. We do not. We raise our kids, and then you have one kid that says, I can't tell my family who I really am. I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. I had an abortion. And from our viewpoint, everything's good. But their world's upside down. How can we expect them to be positive enough to spread the gospel when they're dealing with so much in their lives? They don't understand that the upside down world is what God had intended to do with this sinful world. That's what the apostles did. They were spread out. They went throughout the world and they turned the world upside down for Christ. But they understood what Christ wanted. These kids, some of them had no clue who Joseph and Job and Paul were. So how could they build a foundation? You're like, well, I don't know that I know enough scripture to be able to teach them that. That's not what it's about. Eventually, yes. Now, let me ask you this. This is where I'm going to kick you in the shins. Don't pick your feet up, because that won't help. How many of you are struggling with anxiety? And I'm not naive enough to know that some of you adults are struggling with pornography or alcohol addiction or drug addiction, even prescription drugs. So I'm not naive enough to know that that's not happening in here. How do you deal with it? You keep it locked up. You know, James 5:16, confess your sins one to another, but the tail end of that is so that you may be healed. A lot of times we don't finish that passage out. But personally, I don't think it's necessarily sins that we can confess. Because some of the things that we start out doing leads to sin. But we don't go to anybody to get help to get through that process to prevent that sin from being created. We're told that from our own evil desires, it's just a desire to begin with. But what does it happen eventually? It gives birth to sin. Confess your struggles. That's what I told the kids. Confess your struggles. Because somebody is dealing with the same thing. Two stories that happened this week. The very first class, there was a young man sitting on this side of me. And after I got through having him write down, I said, okay, who wants to share? I've shared with you my struggles or things that feel like we've been turned upside down with. What do you struggle with? And this young man raised his hand. And so I addressed him. And he said nothing. He just sobbed. There was another young man over here raised his hand, so I addressed him. He said, there's me and my mother and my sister. That's all we have in our family. Our dad's run off and left us. He said, my mother's a nurse and works in a hospital, and she got sick. We thought it was just because she was working too many hours. They tested her and she had cancer. So him and his sister had to struggle through the whole process of the chemo and the radiation and all that. But also worried about the fact that if she died, where would they live? Who would take them in? They're still in high school. Are they going to end up in the system with foster parents and all of that kind of story? That was their world at that time. And he said, thankfully my mother lived. But he realized what that did to his life. So I go back to this young man and I said, okay, son, because he had calmed down. And the process started all over again. He's just crying, bawling his eyes out. But he hands me his card. So I go and get his card and I read it. His mother had died of cancer. What are the odds in 25 kids that two of them, their mothers, had cancer? And that's what had turned their world upside down. See, they weren't alone. They could talk to one another and understand the pain and the agony and the fear of losing a parent. There's no telling how many cards I've got in there that deal with anger. The sexual abuse. Over and over and over. You are not alone. You are not alone. This is a mission field. I told them, to me, there's three things that get us through this world. The first one is based on God. We look at Joseph. We look at Job. We look at Paul. We look at David. Every battle he fought but one, he won. Every one he was victorious in except one. And why was he not victorious in that one battle? Because he did not go to God in prayer. God was not first in his life when he went to battle. What does that tell us? Make a foundation out of God. The second thing is to share. Neve and I found out that there are more people in this congregation that have lost children than you know of. You wouldn't believe the number in here. But because they knew our grief, they came to us. They shared with us. They prayed with us. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about life struggles. We get scared about sharing our sins and people thinking down on us, but yeah, that's one of it. But just life struggles. And the third thing is never give up. What does Paul say? Finish the race. Go on YouTube and Google finishing the race. Over and over again, you'll find track runners that have stumbled and fallen in the middle of a race to get up and run it and win it. We struggle every day. We stumble every day. And sometimes we just give up. Look at our empty pews. Some of that's just because they've struggled every day and they've given up on God. This is your mission field. We don't have to go knock doors. We just need to make sure that we know what our struggle is and we ask these kids what their struggle is. They'll tell you. Look at these cards. They'll tell you because they're hurting. They want somebody to be there. This young girl says, I need a father. It works. One story this week. One kid shared with us. His father was a drug dealer. His mother was a prostitute. She eventually got hooked into the drug world. They were both arrested, put in prison. He had nowhere to go. He ended up in the foster system. They got out. He went back with them. They ended up in prison again. He's back in the foster system. And the foster family he's with now is now his adopted parents. They taught him Christ. And he is now a brother to all of us. There are success stories out there. But one out of 400 kids in my class this week, how many more do we have the opportunity to touch? That's one of the reasons I love Encounter. Yeah, we have fun. We jump up and down. We holler attitude check. We say, you know, I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm enthusiastic. I'm ready to start the day. That's fun stuff. But those are the things they use to hide what's on these cards. And you do the same thing. You do the same thing. But there's somebody else in here that's struggling with the same thing you are. Low self-esteem. Maybe you're not dealing with pornography or drugs or anything, but a spouse. Or a child. There's ways to get through this. Faith in God. Talk to one of us and say, hey, I need somebody that's dealing with this. Chris can help you out as far as talking to you, or We can help you out by sending you to the Path Stones to find somebody that you can interact with. But don't give up. Because if we finish the race, we'll be getting on the train with Bob going to heaven. I know he's not getting one ready today, but he... But we can take more with us if we just open up about our struggles. Sometimes we're too proud to do that. But until we tell people that God has done this for me, they're not going to think anything about God. That's where we become missionaries. We don't have to know a lot of scripture. All we need to know and be able to tell people is God and my Christian friends help me through these struggles. And that opens a big door. If you're struggling, if you need our prayers, because the pain is hurts. We give you that opportunity. We'll be down here to receive you, to hug you, to pray for you, to let you know that you can turn your world right side up, which is upside down to the world. Be right side up with God. Be a missionary and turn somebody else's world upside down. If we can help you, please come.